Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
You know, he died. And that's a good thing. What will happen from here on out, I don't know. A despot, a horrible human being, a dictator, a murderer, a thief, a bully, a POS, whatever you want to call him. Fidel Castro was all of those things. A revolutionary to the revolution! By the way, if anybody says they've got a revolution going on, just understand the people that lead the revolution want to live above it, and they want to impose their will on the people who helped them get to that plateau where they could overthrow something. And in doing so, usually you're going to give up everything, including your rights. He was a horrible despot. He killed tens of thousands of people. He broke up families. He almost caused a nuclear war. He was one of the 20th century's worst human beings, I think it's fair to say. I think that's very much fair to say. You put him on. Do I put him at the same place as Hitler? I think there's groups. I think you have Mao, I think you have Hitler, and I think you have Stalin. Those three killed what? 150 plus million people. Underneath them, you got the Castros of the world, you've got the Pol Pots and the Conies and some of those other people. Che Guevara, I'll throw him in there. But definitely, you know, a scumbag who ruled a tiny island for 50 years and did so through fear, through violence, through so many different methods. It's disgusting. So I don't feel sad. I don't feel any sense of remorse. And I think that's even or anger in some way. I think if nobody cares, that's probably worse, right? Like, because if you're angry, you're showing emotion. If you're sad, you're showing emotion, right? If you're apathetic, you're like, eh, you don't care. There's no emotion, so there's no attachment. The parties in Little Havana and Miami and South Beach and throughout much of parts of Florida this past weekend were understandable. I mean, these are second and third generation people who escaped a maniacal dictator who tortured and killed and separated their families. Who did things that, if you think being a great leader, and as Trudeau said, that the people of Cuba loved him, Trudeau, the as he whitewashed the revolutionary that was Fidel, talked about the great things he did with, you know, education and healthcare. Again, we can do this all without destroying people's lives. But if you think about it for a second, to think about the lengths of people go to escape an island like that, I have news for you. Nobody is sitting in Cedar Rapids or you know parts of South Dakota or Wyoming or upstate New York or Los Angeles or Seattle or Florida and, you know, and saying to themselves, man, I got to get myself a refrigerator that can float and I need to get in it and I need to paddle away from this country. But they did that there. For 50 years, after he overthrew Batista, he withstood America. He looked right at us and thumbed his nose. He started parts of other revolutions, tried to spread his hate in his form of socialism and communism throughout parts of South America, and some of it is still. You know, you've got the likes of Bolivia and you know, of course, Venezuela that, you know, adhere to this great notion that socialism is well. I think with his death, socialism should die. The thought of it. The only thing that people who live in socialism understand and share together is misery. That's it. But you look at revolutions throughout history, very few of them actually turn things back over to the people. Right? People, we had a revolution. We were fighting to get away from something. We were not overthrowing ourselves. like they did in Russia, like they did in Cuba, like they've done elsewhere, you know? And you've seen it with the Islamic Revolution and whatnot. And what happened? Right? We think, oh, you know, people are like, oh my God, Robin Hood's here. Even Robin Hood had rules, right? Robin Hood had rules. And you don't know what Robin Hood would have done if he had a chance to run everything. He was a scumbag. I mean, that's easy to say. But to think about how it affects America and to think about how it affects the people that live here who are, you know, some are second generation, maybe even third generation, but a good portion of them are, you know, people who escaped, who have family over there, who don't get to see that family anymore, who haven't been able to talk to their family, who they've escaped. This man was horrific. And the fact that we have so many people, that these young kids, these people I see that wear the Che Guevara shirts. In fact, I think you should go buy a Che Guevara shirt. And the reason I think you should buy one is because the thought that his shirt is selling at a Hot Topic or someplace in the mall, or you could buy it online, the thought that that's out there would send him spinning in his grave, because it's capitalism. It's everything that they had a disdain for. Freedom of market, freedom of movement, freedom of thought, freedom of ideology, freedom of having oneself and being responsible for themselves. He was no hero. He was a tyrant and a killer. That's what he was. Because you see, heroes don't worry about what you may say and want to do with your life. He was an abusive husband. He was an abusive girlfriend or wife. He was a person who separates, first and foremost, your freedoms and individualities from each other. Just like when you see somebody who's abusive, what do? When they groom people, they separate them from their friends and family. Then they make them think that it's all about them, right? They're the only ones who can take care of you and give you what you need. And then if you do something wrong, or what they think or perceive to be wrong, they abuse you and then blame it on you for making them. That's what he was. That's what he was. And that's how he treated his people. It doesn't work, socialism and communism. We know that. Read a book. You don't think that I'm telling the truth. Read a book. It doesn't work. It's never worked. It's never going to work. And you know why the reason it'll never work? It's because we're human beings. And until you can figure out a way to take away human beings' emotions, their drives, their wants to get forward, their need to succeed, until you can take away their jealousy, until you can take away their anger, until you can make essentially somebody who has no emotion whatsoever, until you can figure out a way to do that, until you can figure that out, it will never work. He never figured it out. So what he had to do was crack down. Speak out against him, crack down. Speak out against the regime, crack down. Speak out against the fact that you're having freedoms taken away and you'd like to have a little bit more, crack down. Neighbors telling on each other, secret police, torture, executions. If it's so great, if it's such a paradise, if it's so amazing, then why do so many risk life to escape it? That's the question. Because it doesn't work. It doesn't. And much like a person who's been abused, after a while, people just give up. And they think this is the best it's ever going to get. No. He was no more than a street thug, not somebody to admire. And if you're admiring somebody like him, you're an idiot. I think it's the safest thing to say. I really do. Not only did we lose him this weekend, on Thursday we lost, I think, a mom to many of us in America. Florence Henderson passed away. Of course, if you don't know who she is, again, where have you been? She was Mrs. Brady Bunch herself, right? She was Mrs. Brady. She passed away, a very untimely death by the sounds of it. Had just gone and seen Maureen McCormick at the Dancing with the Stars final just a few days earlier and apparently died of heart failure. Nobody really saw it coming. So we were trying to figure out, we got to do something. But, well, you know, we said, look, why don't we take the Brady Bunch and we take Castro and we meld the two together. And in doing so, we can come up with something that will both entertain and pay homage to a great TV show and a woman, but at the same time, definitely remind you of what a scumbag he was. So we got the Philharmonic Orchestra together, and this is what we got.
Here's a story of a man in Fidel who took his country down the road to hell with three brothers, Raul, Pedro, and Ramon. The youngest one in curls. Here's the story of the brother Raul, who one day said, Fidel, you must step aside. You're a shriveled bastard and will die soon. For Cuba I must rise. It's the story of a Cuban commie family who after death have a very simple plan. Passing power to another in the family. That's the way they all became the Castro clan. The Castro clan. The Castro clan. That's the way they all became the Castro clan.
Chad Benson Show. Yo, 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 know what this is, boy.
Chad Benson.
Text the show, 323-538-2423. Texter writes in, hi, Chad, is it really true HRC's 2 million plus popular vote is almost all in Cali? Yeah, you know, a good portion of it is California, New York. She went to the most populous states. She won heavily there. Places that, by the way, she spent way too much time here trying to win. If she wanted to win the Electoral College, she spent a lot of time in places that she was going to win handily, which is not a good thing to do. But we'll see how it goes. I mean, again, you know, this whole thought process of another recount. Jill Stein is going to not... She is going to find out what the definition of insanity is. She is going to do something that she already knows the outcome is going to be what it already is. It's not going to change anything. It's going to cost her a ton of money. And HRC is not winning anything. Pennsylvania, Michigan, he won today. It's over. It's done with. And again, if Hillary thought for one moment, for one second, that she had a chance to win this, she'd be all over. If she thought for one second, just one second, that she, oh, but she's, her people, look, she's not, she's done. She knows that. She's out hiking the Appalachian Mountains and people are taking selfies with her. I mean, that's it. It's not going to happen. But they want to drag this thing on. I don't know what Jill Stein thinks she's going to find out. But she's mad because Wisconsin says, yeah, we'll give you a revote. It's going to cost you this much money. And oh, by the way, we're not going to do it by hand like you want. It's not going to happen. Just isn't going to happen. Another texter writes in and says, this is great, about the youngsters of America. Hey, that's a great idea. We could send them snowflakes down there. Brian and Indy text in. You can always text the show, 323-538-2423, talking about whether or not we should send people to Cuba with the passing of Fidel. And again, we don't know what Raul's going to be like. I have no idea what Raul's going to be like. You know, this weekend, the 49ers played in Miami, and earlier in the preseason, they played down there, and at a press conference, Colin Kaepernick, who's made waves by not standing up for the anthem, talking about the oppression of people, wore a shirt with Malcolm X and Fidel Castro on it in their meeting. And the thing about that is the fact that it's not only hypocritical, it's also it's ignorant. It shows the ignorance of him. So you feel that this country oppresses people here, people of color. You may have some point there in the way that, that things happen here. Absolutely. I'm not going to deny that. But when you don't understand what you're putting out there, i.e. wearing the shirt of Fidel and Malcolm X, and this isn't even about a Malcolm. This is about the fact that you're wearing a shirt with Fidel, that you're essentially saying, I don't care if these people are oppressed. I don't care if these people have zero rights. I don't care if these people have, you know, nothing. I only care about mom. And he had to, look, he took a bunch of questions yesterday, and they were not kind to him. They went after him, and there's been a lot of op-eds and that torn him apart. I'm not going to sit here and tear the guy apart. I think he's young. I think he's misguided. I think he's smarter than that. But at the same time, know what you speak of. Know what you speak of. Don't say that you worry about the oppression of African Americans and people of color in this country, yet you wear a shirt where somebody who oppresses people in his own country to the point of firing squads and any kind of freedoms that they may have with the press or with thought is quailed and you're thrown inside of jails for political dissent. Don't tell me you're cool with that, but you're upset about the other. That's ignorance. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBensonShow.com, Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. I posted something over the weekend about Florence Henderson, and I took a lot of flack for it. Let's talk about it.
The Chad Benson Show. Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
You can always text the show, 323-538-2423. Sergio, our man out there in McAllen at KURV, writes in, dissent is tolerated and at times celebrated in America. In Cuba, it is at best incarcerated, at worst executed. Colin Kay is an embarrassingly ignorant dolt. Indeed. Very much so. Very much so. Wearing a shirt like that. Wearing a shirt of a man who oppresses people to say that you are a revolutionary and you feel that this country oppresses people is silly. It is. It's silly. It is silly. Somebody texter writes in, I thought your Brady Bunch tic-tac tacky was a hoot. It was. So over the weekend, after hearing of the untimely death on, was it Friday morning, of the passing of Florence Henderson at the young, spry age of, I believe, 82 years old, I posted a meme that had Robert Reed, Anne B. Davis, and then, Florence Henderson, and it had, three X's, kind of tic-tac-toe. I said tic-tac-tacky. And some people laughed. Some people got the humor of it all. By the way, I have a feeling that Florence Henderson would have probably been a good sport about it as well. Anne B. Davis, absolutely. Robert Reed, probably. But Chad. People, of course, being sensitive. And this again is the world that we live in, the sensitivity that's out there. It's too soon. Look, doing comedy, it's never too soon. In fact, you race at times to see who's going to be the first that has the cojones to do something. I meant no harm by it, but it was funny. If you didn't like it, I apologize. You're not going to like everything I do. Would it have been okay a week from now? That's the funny thing is the people that were mad were like, it's too soon. Is there a time limit? It used to be tragedy plus time equals comedy. We've thrown that out the window. It's just sometimes tragedy is interesting. And this is no slight on her as a human being. Look, if you could go to most people today and say, look, you're going to live a very long and happy, pretty much healthy life, and you're going to get to 82, and you're going to have a productive life, a life that many people dream of having, you'd say, hell yeah. Wouldn't you? I think so. I didn't do it. It's so funny because to watch the people who get pissed at stuff like this, it's like, why are you mad? Like, why are you mad? And the funny thing is I can say something horrible about Fidel Castro. You don't care. Right? You don't care that I think he is a horrible human being and that where he is right now, he is the cigar to Satan himself and he will be tortured for eternity. And it's funny, and you're cool with that. Like, that's one Cuban we'd all like to burn. We're okay with that, right? But not her. Why? Well, we grew up with her. We were beloved. He's an enemy. What can I say? Well, he's a human being. Somebody said to me, well, you know, she's got grandkids and kids and whatnot. I said, doesn't he? Right? Again. It is what it is. It's humor. It's satire. It was funny. If you didn't find the humor in it, you're never going to find the humor in it. Because there was something special about that. I don't look at things the same way that you do. I look at things in a much more snarky kind of way. We were talking about it last hour with that lady disappearing in Northern California. She's found almost 3 weeks later on Thanksgiving Day, and she was beaten and said she was chained to something, and two women beat her. And I said, I find some fishiness here in this story. I find some weirdness in this. So I posted something. People get upset. You got to get over yourself, right? You have to get over yourself. And I think we've become so sensitive. It's so funny. We're so desensitized in many things. And yet at the same time, we're so sensitive about other things. If Phil drops dead tomorrow, or I do, you guys have permission to make fun of me. And I'll make fun of Phil. Phil, you can make fun of me.
Well, I don't need to be dead. Apparently, you do that all the time.
Yeah, it's totally fine. But you know, I mean, it's I'm not here. What do I care at that point? It's not like I'm going to wake from the grave. Did somebody do a bad joke? Was there a bad joke? I thought I heard a bad joke. And somebody started getting on me about it this weekend. I said, let me tell you something. I said, my dad's funeral was the worst funeral of all time. I laughed at my dad's funeral. It was so bad. My mother and I kept looking at ourselves going, are we at the right place? Is this the same guy? My dad? Is this the guy they're talking about? Sometimes in life, you have to loosen up. And understand, too, that people deal with tragedy in many different ways. I don't think this was a tragedy. I didn't lose any sleep over it. Right? But people do. They deal with loss and stuff in a much different way. It's the psychology of it all. So you've got Florence Henderson who dies. I put up a funny meme about it. People freak out about it. Some people laugh and think it's hilarious. And some people are, it's tacky. Yeah, well, of course it's tacky. The whole point. Right? Like, that's the point of it all. It's satire. It is supposed to evoke a reaction from you. Hopefully it's humor. Some of it you may be anger. But get over it. Please, just get over it, please. Apparently tomorrow Trump has got some big announcements coming. I don't know what it's going to be. I think he's getting closer and closer to naming a Secretary of State and a few other key positions. We were talking earlier about Kellyanne Conway, and we talked to Diamond and Silk last hour, and they were like, well, you know, you don't know if she's mad. You don't know if she's this. I'm like, no, I think she's pissed because she's the only one without something. Like, everybody else has something, and she's still there, and she's the only one without something. Like, she doesn't have a gig. Well, she's got family. Well, they all have family. But I think she's angry because she doesn't have something. And I like, you know, the whole thing of the thought process, if it's going to be Rudy Giuliani or if it's going to be somebody like, you know, Mitt Romney to be Secretary of State, if it's up to me, I'd probably go with Mitt. But, you know, that is what it is. I, you know, but people say, how could you have somebody like Mitt Romney as your person who, after all the things he done, is, well, it's about being a great leader, right? Like, there are plenty of times that I played with guys who were on other teams before they came to play with my team, who absolutely I hated with a passion. The fans hated them. The other players hated them. The coaches hated them. But a chance to get them on your team? Hell yeah. You do stuff like that. I don't know if he's going to be, but I just, the whole thing is interesting. And the fact that you would do something like that, to me, it's a weird leadership kind of thing. Is this the best person available for this job? I think Mitt Romney would bring some stuff to the job that would be very unique. I think he's very pragmatic. I think he's very smart. And I also think he would disagree. And I think Trump wants that. I think he likes people that push back on him. He doesn't want yes. He can micromanage to a certain extent, but at the same time, he wants you to come up with your own ideas, your own thoughts, and he wants you to be a loud voice in the room. If he thinks something needs to be done and you think, no, it doesn't need to be done, he wants to hear why. So I don't think it's a bad idea. Well, all that he did, look, it's business. This is where I think the ladies missed this. It's business, right? Like, very rarely do boxers really hate each other as much as they do right before a fight. You ever notice afterwards, they give each other hugs, tell each other, man, hey, great work. It is what it is. He did what he had to do to become president of the United States. That's all gone now. Have you noticed he likes Ted? Have you noticed he likes Marco? He doesn't insult them anymore. Have you noticed that? Have you noticed he's not going after Hillary, and he also said they're good people? Because at the time when he was there and he was in it all, this is what it was. We've moved on from that. I think it shows some savvy. So we'll see what happens. But apparently some big news are brewing tomorrow, according to Vice President-elect Mike Pence. Hey, speaking of Vice President-elect, you are the president of your world and your health, but you need a hell of a vice president. Might I suggest you nominating and asking Superbeats to be your vice president? Oh, yes. You know, there's about a million people out there, plus, every day, who reach for nasty drinks at 1 or 2 in the afternoon. In the morning, it's millions. It's coffee because they need an oomph. It's a sugary energy drink. It's even a soda. They need a kick in the pants. They need to get moving. Let me tell you something. There's a healthier alternative, a way to actually get the energy you need. Superbeats. It's amazing. Good health starts with intention. I take my Superbeats everywhere. It gives me, first of all, it helps with my heart health. It helps with my healthy blood pressure. It helps me with energy and stamina. I feel it within minutes, but it also tastes great. It's a functional food that helps with circulation. You drink it, just a little tablespoon, boom, right into some water, and away it goes. It is packed with electrolytes, antioxidants. It is amazing, and the taste is delicious. Phil, while being down last week during the holiday season, still managed to get his super beats on, and it helped him.
Yeah, actually, it did. It gave me a lot of energy because, I mean, I was the flu just had me run down, and, you know, I put super beats in water, and it tastes great, and it gave me energy, and so that I could actually kind of move for a couple of days, and I miss that when I don't have it.
You need it. You need it. We worry about you. We want you to be healthy. We want you to be around for a long, long time. This is what we're going to do for you. Listeners of the Chad Benson Show, go to chadbeats.com. Order today. You're going to get a 30-day supply free with your first order. You also get nitric oxide indicator strips free to use before and after drinking Super Beats. It'll show you it's working in your body. Plus, you're going to get a book called Beat the Odds absolutely free. Oh, by the way, everything comes to you with free shipping. Boom. drop the microphone. This is the best part to me. I love the fact that they guarantee stuff. They put their money where their mouth is. It's guaranteed or your money back. Go to chadbeats.com. That's chadbeats.com. Or call 800-561-2677. That's 800-561-2677. It works. It's guaranteed. It tastes delicious. Super Beats is for you. Go to chadbeats.com or call 800-561-2677 today. Wrap it up! Chad Benson Show.
I'll take it. Wrap it up. I'll take it. Wrap it up. I'll take it.
You're listening to The Chad Benson Show.
We are wrapping this up. Putting a bow on this dog and pony show. Cyber Monday. $3.5 billion worth of crap that we bought. I didn't buy anything. I feel like I should. I feel like I'm left out. It's weird because I went out on Black Friday. I didn't buy anything. My family, you know what? We went out Thursday night, actually. We did. Well, my family, we went out to dinner because that's like the new thing. So we went out to dinner. So, but it was just my mom and my aunt, my Spencer's in the wheelchair, and my little brother Dakota. So we all went out to dinner. And you just great. What did I have? Oh, they had all the specials, right? You know, oh, we have prime rib and ham and turkey and this great special. Producer Phil, I had a chicken fried steak, and it was delicious.
Right on. Good for you.
It was so big. It was like the thing that tipped over the Flintstones car at the end. I mean, it's massive. It was amazing. It was D to the lish. But we went out Thursday night. Now, Black Friday wasn't as big as a lot of people had hoped for, but I don't think it's a bad thing because I think we shop online. We do. We shop online. Amazon's got some good deals today, but we shop online. You know what? I'm trying to think what I want. Do you want one of those Alexas, Phil? Those producer Phil? You want
no,
one of those
I don't
things
want any of that crap.
That talks to you?
No.
Like Alexa, clean my house. That's a negative, Chad. I have no arms. Alexa, get arms. Alexa, what's wrong with me?
I don't need Alexa. I don't need Siri.
But I'm like to me, it's like, okay, what would I do with Alexa? Because like, she's not going to be programmed to anything in my house. Cause that just takes, that's just me breaking stuff, right? Alexa, put yourself back together. It was just, oh my goodness. I watched a lot of football this weekend. I will not lie. I will not lie. And, you know, I didn't eat as much as I thought. And this is what's great about America. Again, we're so blessed. It's ridiculous. I love it. This is what's so great about America. We are fine on your birthday, right? Maybe a celebration and definitely on a holiday. Rah! I could have another 4 or 5 pounds of this. It's like no big deal, right? I'll start my diet next year. Like we are glutton. We are gluttony. We should be called the United States of Gluttony. But I didn't eat as much, and I was kind of like, But I did watch a ton of football. Now, producer Phil, I believe you have the cut where I watched the football games on Thanksgiving Day, and Aretha Franklin did a rendition of the Star Spangled Banner. She may still be doing it. I don't know. They may have turned her microphone off and moved her out. But I do know that at one time, she was on the board for 4 minutes and 35 seconds, and it was not only tedious, it was, well, it was kind of off.
Oh, say, can you see surprise?
All right, I can't take it anymore.
Oh my God, it was horrible. And again, it's look, let's can we all be honest? It is not the easiest song in the world to sing. It is not. We were trying to think of a day. Like, okay, Whitney Houston, she rocked it. Right? But if you want to see an amazing Star Spangled Banner. If you want to see amazing Star Spangled Banner, one that will literally give you chills, and I challenge you tonight to YouTube this. I think it was the 82-83 finals. It was the NBA finals. It was at the Forum in Los Angeles. It was the Boston Celtics and the LA Lakers. And the LA Lakers had Marvin Gaye sing the national anthem. And he did this national anthem that was so, it was like a, it was amazing. And it was kind of just, it was just this one little like, it was this like, and he did this thing. It was incredible. That was not what we heard. And she's in fur, too. Does she not understand that you're not supposed to wear fur? Ah, Aretha. The fact that she showed up, though, kudos, right? Because that's her big thing. She just doesn't show up at stuff, which I think that everybody would have been fine with. The Chad Benson Show Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, C-H-A-D-B-E-N-S-O-N. You can always tweet at me. Love it when you do. Love it when you text the show, 323-538-2423. 323-538-2423. Solid fun Monday. Tomorrow is going to be even better because we're going to have a good night's rest after our 5 days off. For Phil, for Anthony, my name's Chad Benson. Night, night, Jack.
The Chad Benson Show.